All right, Job chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. Reading the first 8 verses. Bible says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering to each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Lord, I thank you. I thank you that there are men like Job, witnesses that exist around us that we can aim for. Lord, I thank you that as challenges come and challenges are coming to Job, that he is able to rise up. And Lord, we are able to rise up to the challenges that beset us. Lord, as we move into these challenges, Lord, we grab on tightly to you. Lord, we keep our eyes focused firmly on the kingdom, that you would be magnified in us. As we grab on tightly to you, we ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, do you know the book of Job? Book of Job, there are some challenges that are coming towards Job, and all eyes are on him. Will he dive in or will he go around? Sadly, most go around. Most of the challenges of life come, they take the detour and go around the challenge. Can I get a witness on that? This is a picture. Anybody have a clue what that is? What? I-15, right there. That is the new high-speed rapid transit station that has been being built right over here on University, and they got kind of an extension going all the way up to Elkhorn Boulevard. Since June of 2015, it has a budget of $65 million and was to be completed in June. It is not done yet. For many of us, it has been a source of traffic and delay. Can I get a witness on that? There has been noise, and there has been dirt, and there has been nothing but cones, and people guiding us around, and we just have to wait and drive around all the work that is going on. Amen? For some, they don't drive around the work, they go to work. That when they get to the detour, they head right in. And for the last 2 years, this has been a focus of their life, that there has been this transit station right here at University in Elkhorn and then up Mira Mesa, and there's all this stuff that is going on. Because not everybody takes the detour. There are some, when they see the detour, they dive in and they go to work. Amen? Amen. We're in a series, Breaking Free from the Past, Freedom from Our Past. And this message today, I'm going to be talking about diving into the kingdom. Because for many of us, to get away from our past, the kingdom is the only option. Can I get a witness on that? There are challenges that come towards us. And as the kingdom of God was focused on Job and this man who was the greatest man in the East, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my boy Job?" I cannot imagine have God saying that about me. But we get images in Scripture that heaven is indeed paying attention to us. That as we take a look at chapter 12 of this book of Hebrews that we've been studying, that there is a great cloud of witnesses and great champions of the faith like Abraham, and David, and Moses, and Gideon, and Samuel, and more are paying attention and cheering us on. And that as we come to our challenges, do we dive right in, or do we take the detour? That, sadly, is the case for many. We're going to talk about the difference today. First 10 chapters of Hebrews, the author has been laying a foundation of theology. He's been teaching us. We get to chapter 10, and he says, okay, enough learning, time to start doing. Can I get a witness on that? He's given us enough that we can put it in our back pocket and we can start making some choices about what do we do with the challenges of our life. Question for you today is, are you ready? Challenge comes, you dive in or walk around? Because the kingdom of God is paying attention. There are many, challenge comes, and they take the detour. The message of today is called Diving into the Kingdom. We will spend our time, the last half of chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. We're going to take a look at the presence of God and the impact that the presence of God has in our lives. Chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, we're talking about that last week and the week before, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And our writer is saying that we should have lives of confidence. He opens up with therefore, and he's got a lot of therefores in this book, and it's like therefore, because of what? Because of all that he has taught us, because we have a better high priest in our Lord Jesus Christ, amen? That we have a better sacrifice made by our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a better holy place and a better temple that is in heaven because of all these things. God is moving into the final option that he had moved from the law, and the law had pointed out our sin, and Jesus comes as a solution to our issues. Amen? He says, you're going to dive in, or are you going to walk around? Now he says, and he's talking about the most holy place, that this final option the Lord has made for us through the life and death and sacrifice and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to move into the very presence of God with confidence. This is in direct contrast to what we took a look at last week, where the Jewish high priest would go into the most holy place one time a year on the Day of Atonement to make sacrifice for himself, his own sins, and to make sacrifice for the sins of Israel, and he went in with great fear and intrepidation. He did that because he was afraid that God would strike him dead. But in contrast to that fear and trepidation, we walk in to the very presence, the very throne room of God with great confidence. Not confidence in us, but confidence in Christ and the work that he did. Amen? We call that confidence in Christ, faith. And a life of faith, and that we can enter into the very presence of God by faith and be transformed. Now, there are some things going on in our lives that keep us away from God. Can I get a witness? So, as you draw near to God, necessarily those things need to fall off. So the closer you get to God, the cleaner you get. Amen? Now, we talk about this most holy place. We talk about the very throne room of God, and I want to let you know that the throne room of God in heaven is not a physical place. That it is a spiritual place. And because it is a spiritual place, no matter where you are, no matter what you are doing, you can immediately step into the presence of God. So the question is, do you dive in or do you take the detour? Because our author says, dive in, be transformed, live a life of confidence, and meet your Lord. Amen? All right, let's continue on reading verses 21 to 25 of chapter 10. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Can I get a witness on that part? And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. That's what we're doing right now. We are meeting together. Amen? Don't give up doing that. He's saying, let me just tell you straight up what he's saying. He's saying, come to church, is what he's saying. There's some stuff that only happens in church. Jesus says, two or three are gathered in my name. I'm right there with you. Amen? Sorry, I'm just going off, but Tommy's saying, go, go, go. I'm doing it, man. I'm trying. Towards love and good deeds and not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. I'm moving right on. But I do hope that's not you. I hope that's not your habit. But encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And he said, now that you know, now you should do, right? Move beyond learning and start doing. And he gives us three imperatives. He gives us three orders. He gives us three helpings of Christian salad. Three lettuces. Oh, that was just bad, wasn't it? You know, it does, you know, it has been said that the pun, and you can ask Pastor Scott, the pun is the lowest form of humor. Was that it? Okay. Let us draw near and be cleansed. And you come near to God, and those things drop off the backside of you. And he says, come near. Be cleansed. He talks about this water. He talks about being baptized in water. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to be baptized in water. Ever since we put this curtain up, we haven't had any baptisms because we've got to figure out how to take the curtain down because we've got a baptism right back there. But you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be totally immersed in water, be transformed, cleansed. Amen? Second lettuce that we have here, let us hold unswervingly to our hope. And our blessed hope is the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That Jesus come back could come back today. Can I get a witness on that? And there are some of us that are hoping Jesus comes back today. Those who have been in the fights, those who have been battling, those who are weakened in their bodies because of all the challenges that come our way. It's like, Lord, can you move the finish line a little bit closer? I am ready for heaven today. Our blessed hope. Hold unswervingly. Don't be shaken off that focus. Let us encourage one another to love and good works. Now, this love he's talking about here is agape love. It is an outflowing of the presence of God in our lives. And I want to let you know, it is impossible to do this alone. You cannot convey the love of Christ if you have no one around you. And so as you come into the body of Christ, there is problems. Can I get a witness? Yes. There's people, there's some messed up people around here. And those messed up people give you the opportunity to show the love of Christ. There are some people that you can walk side by side and say, let's go, let's get some. You know, let's do this for the Lord. And we encourage one another. And we find great things. Let's dive in. Let's see this victory. Let's be part of this challenge. Church is a great place. Helps you grow. Amen? I grew up in Hopeville. Who knows where Hopeville is? I'll buy you lunch today. Wonderfully, yes. It is 1 hour east. If you know the burgeoning metropolis, something, of El Centro, just keep going about 10 more miles, and you will land in Hopeville. It's in the middle of the desert. Checking the temperatures this week, it has been 107, 108, 109. Yes. Just a fond memory of that temperature. But I remember being a little kid, and I had two brothers and a sister, and I don't know why, but I think I stayed home from school for some reason. I don't know why. But my mom went to the country club with her friend, and they were laying out by the pool, and I got to go, and there was a high dive. That's the wrong picture. There we go. There was a high dive. And I climbed up that thing, six, seven, 8 years old. It's back there at the furthest reaches of my mind. And I was going to jump off that high dive. And them ladies, there's my mom's friend Barbara and my mom's friend Jane. And Jane had the ends to the country club. And so they were sitting there catching rays going, jump, Bobby, jump, jump, jump. And, you know, I had a little kid's brain back then. And I'm recollecting, but I do believe that I was on that diving board for 1 hour. I remember sitting on the end of that board looking over. I took the detour that day. Climbed down that ladder. And the ladies were disappointed. I was disappointed. And when we take the detour, heaven is disappointed. And continue reading. Backside of the kingdom, not so attractive. Verses 26, 27. If we deliberately keep on sinning, now you know what deliberately means, right? Thank you for that, Steve. No lunch for you today, but thank you for that. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for for sins is left. Only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Not everyone gets the prize. See, there are some who will say no. There are some who are completely against the kingdom of God, the program of God. And here specifically, we are talking about those who come to an understanding. I'm not talking about the people that made that sign, but we're talking in the book of Hebrews about those who know God and then reject Him. Our writer says there's a little something extra for those who see their salvation and then take the detour. Now, there is judgment for all who die apart from the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake a burning sulfur. This is the second death. And the fiery lake of burning sulfur is created for the devil and is created for the enemies of God. And those who live in sin, especially those who have come to know the Lord as their Savior and take the detour of life and turn back to sin, live as enemies of God and live in expectation of judgment and expectation of this death. It is more heinous because God gives everyone the opportunity to escape this judgment. That is what we call being saved. You are indeed saved from judgment. But there are those who would rather take the detour than dive in. Continue on. Verses 28-31. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Does seem that they're playing for keeps here. Amen? Let me read that again. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. If you got paper today, you can underline this in your Bible. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Punishment is reserved for those who say no. There was punishment that was in the law of Moses. And there are those who find this repulsive. But no matter how repulsive or unattractive you find this, it does not make it any less true. Jesus came to give you entrance into the kingdom of God. He comes and he makes an entrance, makes an offer to each of us. Our author is writing to those who grab on to that offer and then begin to rethink their commitment. Now, Jesus said there are some things that are going to come along in your life that are cause you to consider that detour. He says the cares of life, The love of money. Come along and say, you know what? I don't need that. I can just go an easier way. I'll just take the detour. Amen? Jesus also said persecutions. Persecutions because of me will come. And that's what these guys were struggling with. Because they were being persecuted by the Romans and the Jews. And persecutions will come, and you can spin right around. And you'd be like me on that high dive. I'm not diving in. I'm going to just walk around. Writer tells us that when you choose sin over the sacrifice of Jesus, you insult God. And he says that God does not deal with insult well. He says, it is mine to avenge. And he says, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a dreadful thing because there is no one and nowhere you can turn to for help when you fall into the hands of the living God. Amen? Some of you might be aware, Lisa and I have been shopping for couches for, about 3 months. Scored some about 10 days ago. And be looking on Facebook, Craigslist. And find, it's like, woo! Del Mar couches, let's go check them out. Or Rancho Penasquitos, And see these couches and just get so excited, right? Driving up there and get there and just go, whoa, no. But, you say, those look like they might be a little bit dark for us. Could be too light. But, in my mind, I'm thinking, lady, don't you see the massive holes in this couch? How can you even think that anybody would buy this stuff and put it in their home? But I didn't want to insult them. So I said, hey, it just might be a little dark. There are people who live their lives with no regard for our Lord. They live their lives as if he does not exist. They owe him nothing. They owe him no regard. And they wipe their feet on him every opportunity they get. And I want to echo for you, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen? Last thing we got for you today is when you get on track, stay on track. Does that sound good? I mean, I didn't really even have to stay up that late to come up with that line. Verses 32 to 35. Remember those earlier days. Remember the good old days? After you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and at other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And in this, our writer says Christians will experience challenge in their lives. The readers of this letter were being persecuted by Romans, being persecuted by the Jews. They were being arrested. Their property was being seized. He says, keep on keeping on. Keep it up. Don't take the detour. Dive in. Now, we have different challenges in our lives. We have challenges of excess, of wealth, of ease, of sin. And rather than fight it, it can be easier just to go along. But whatever your challenge, do not give up. Do not surrender to the temptation to surrender what you have found in the kingdom of God. Because when you get on track with God, you get on track with the truth. And he says, whatever you're going through, whatever challenge you're going through, and whatever your challenge is, it is your challenge. And your biggest challenge is the biggest thing. He says, don't give up because there is eternity at stake. There are eternal consequences. Don't throw in the towel. Keep it up. Dive in. Don't take the detour. The challenges were wearing the resolve of our readers. They were going to go back. They had met the Lord as their Savior, and they're going to go back to the Jewish religion and say, we're just going to get away from all this stuff. And the writer says, don't let it happen because heaven is paying attention to you today. Dive in. Everybody's watching. Last thing I got for you. You need to persevere. That means you need to keep on going when the going gets tough. Lunch for you, Tommy. Thank you. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay glory. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. See, God rewards perseverance. It's tough. He says, I know it's tough. It was tough on the cross. Continue on. He says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back soon. And I got a reward with me. I'm ready for him to come right now. In the battle, Lord, let it just come close. Now, I realize for many of you, just trying to stand is tough enough. You say, Pastor, I am surrounded by detour signs. I have generations of drama. I have generations of sin behind me, and it is all that I can do to plant my feet and just try to stand. I want to let you know that heaven is watching. Heaven is going, yeah. Heaven is going, lay a foundation for your kids. Undo all that sin that has been passed down through generation to generation to generation to generation. Dive in. It's deep. Whatever you do, don't quit. Whatever you do, don't shrink back. All of heaven is watching. Dive into salvation. Dive into the How are you doing today? Lisa, you want to come up and play? So many of us, we got a little detour sign in our hind pocket. We just pull it out whenever we need a detour. Kingdom of God, detour. Challenges of life, detour. All I do, all I can do is I just try and get around my challenges, just try to get by. Heaven's watching. Heaven sees the disappointment that I felt as I climbed down that high dive. the disappointment in the voices of my mom and her friends. Oh, Bobby. Multiplied by generation after generation after generation that is in heaven rooting you on. Carlos, Carlos. I preached Aaron Bug's father's, Meso's funeral. And he's got, I don't know, a million brothers and sisters, actually 12 brothers and sisters, right? Eight, nine, something like that. Can't even count that, huh? Said, you know, Meso went to heaven and there's a Bugs section. And as he arrived, they were going, Meso, Meso, Meso. Because they're watching. They're cheering you on. They see your failure and their hearts break. And they see your success and they say, go! Go, son. Go, daughter. Find that victory. Don't shrink away. Because what you're shooting for is eternal. Pray with me, would you? Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have called me out of darkness into light, that you have called so many. And the Lord, the water is deep and sometimes cold, but we're not getting out. We're not shrinking away, and we're not taking any detours, Lord. We're in it. We're in it to the end. Come back soon, Lord. Lord, let it end now. But Lord, we're not giving up. Maybe you are here this morning and your life has a huge detour sign on it. You're saying, today, no more. Today, I'm diving in. Jesus is here. He'll take your hand. He'll keep you from drowning. You want to dive in this morning. Lord, we're here this morning. You are here with us. Call us out of darkness. Call us in, Lord. Call us into your kingdom. Let us be saved from judgment. You're here this morning. You've got too many detours going on in your life. And you want to make a change. You want to dive in. Nobody looking around at you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, I'm no more detours for me right here. Somebody else say that's me right here and here. Anybody else say over here, back here. Anybody else say back there, amen, amen, amen. You put your hand down once I see it. I sat up on that high dive for an hour. At any moment, I could have just dove off. Can't even imagine the thousands of times I've dove off a high dive since then. You're here this morning. The Lord is speaking to your heart, and you are sitting on the edge of that board, and you are in danger of going home, climbing down those stairs, and having heaven go, oh, don't do it. Last chance. You're here this morning. You did not put your hand up. The Lord is speaking to your heart. Saying, I'm ready to dive in, Lord. Just slide your hand up quick. Got one last moment. One last moment. Right here. Somebody else. Anybody else? Stand with me if you would. Worship team is going to come. You're going to dive. It's going to take effort. All those guys working over there on 15, been putting in work, solid work, and sweat for 2 years. Right here is your diving board. I would love to pray with you this morning that you would come up. Now, you might have had a little detour you took this week. It's saying, Lord, I missed it. Don't miss it next week. Invite you to come up. I want to pray with you. I want you to dive in. God is good. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's sing. Come on up. Take a dive.
Place to meet the Lord. Don't go.